up, RBLR Nation? If you're hearing that wonderful, wonderful fight song, that means it is time for RBLR Bulls. I'm here with my wonderful co-host, Mr. Musab Tariq. We're going to be talking some Bulls football. Also, you know, a little bit of college football in general, because, you know, USF's great and USF's fun, but they're on a bye week this week. So we're going to be taking a little bit of a wider view of the college football landscape as well. But Mr. Tariq, how are you doing this week? What's been going on, brother?
I've been doing well. You know, it's been, a great weekend in Tampa Bay. Obviously, our USF Bulls had an absolute field day out there, which was, you know, much needed after that Miami loss. And on top of that, yeah, you know, the Buccaneers won. So, I mean, it's been a great time in Tampa so far. And, I'm nothing but happy, of course. There's still, you know, still some real neat, cool things to see, you know, this past weekend, you know, from, you know, some of the guys who haven't been on the spotlight since, you know, it was South Carolina State. So one funny thing that I noticed was I didn't realize how much time of possession South Carolina State had, compared to us. So, like, if you just look at that, like, right, without looking at the score or anything, you're like, dang, like, wow, man.
I know. South Carolina's,
man, wow, SC State really dominated in the trenches, man. They were really, you know, moving the chains. And then you look at the score, you're like, oh, that's why USF didn't need that much time.
Yeah. And it's tough, man, with the Alex Golish just like turbo offense. Like, yeah, I think it's a running joke with him in press conferences where he's just like, oh, we got to win time of possession. We got to win time of possession. It's like, brother, no, you don't. Like, you're full of it, brother. Like, you're just kind of yammering up there. But yeah, it's tough, man. SC State, like, they started the game off so weird. In case our viewers or listeners aren't aware, they USF won 63-14. Not a particularly close game. SC State got off to like an okay start. Like, they drove the ball down the field, and then the Mac Harris pick six happens. And then it's like they drive the ball down the field a little bit, but then they have to punt. Or it was a weird game for them. It's an FCS versus Division I school type of matchup. So that's gonna be how it is. And USF just kind of took over as the game went on. But is there anything like more solid that you can take away from a game like this, Musab, or is it kind of just like, I don't know, for me at least, it was just kind of like a, hey, like, let's get back on track. Like, the Bulls looked a little bit rough in the game against Miami, so let's just, you know, let's see them get a little bit of, like, let's see some shots go in, you know, that type of thing. But what were your thoughts? Are there any takeaways that you can get from this game?
Oh, to be honest, no. I mean, I feel like there's probably just some things that they said, hey, you know, this is what happened in Miami, let's just make sure that if it, you know, were to, you know, look like it was going to occur against South Carolina State, we kind of, you know, make sure we don't, you know, let that happen again. Just, I don't know, just something to kind of, you know, keep the guys warmed up. But I mean, there's still plenty of competition, you know. I mean, I understand that, you know, we, you know, just absolutely ran them over 63-14, but I mean, you want to get the backups, you know, some reps as well, because God knows what happens with injuries and all that. You never know who needs to step up to the plate and already have a little bit of experience under their belt. So, key takeaways, nothing really. I mean, I just felt like it was just such a, you know, dominant game from our, I don't even know where to say, our defense, offense, special teams, everywhere. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you look at the stats, 504 total yards, 252 passing, 252, like, rushing. What do you say? Yeah, they split. Yeah, they split it right. Yeah, split it right and right in the middle. But those are dreamy numbers. You know what I'm saying? So this was more kind of like your dad takes his son to the, you know, football game and says, son, you're probably never going to see this again. But, you know, USF is about to crush the hell out of SC State.
Yeah. Yeah. And here's the thing, man. Like, I remember the days, or I don't remember, it's not that long ago, but it wasn't that long ago when these types of games were happening and USF had to play their starters the whole game. You know, like, it was very much like a, I don't want to say it was white knuckle or anything, but it was very much an actual football game. Like, this was kind of just like, I don't want to say an exhibition because that sounds rude, but it was an exhibition. You know, like, it was kind of tough for SC State to get anything going. USF kind of just ran them over offensively, like you said, especially 252 rushing yards. My goodness, that's pretty ridiculous.
I also want to shout out the special teams. I feel like that's just something that, you know, I feel like any team can have a good special teams, man. You just need some fast, hungry dogs out there. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, shout out Alvon Isaac. You know, he had a pretty darn good game. I think he had like what, 5 punt returns for like 110 yards. So,
oh yeah,
okay,
yeah.
You know, it's nice to see that. You know, the consistency, because I feel like, you know, being able to do that much over and over again, flipping the kind of field position all game long, and you know, having or knowing that South Carolina State is probably saying, oh, you know, how the heck do we, you know, not let this happen again and again? It's good to know that, you know, we were still dominant on that. Because, I mean, you know, look, we already know what Byron Brown and people like Nimrod and, you know, Jalen Shuler can do. So
sure. No, that's a good point. Yeah. And Isaac, I'll give him credit because he had a muffed punt at one point, I believe, or it was a muffed kickoff return. Mm-hmm. I forget which one, but he did have one where he just lost it for a second and then picked it back up. And it was kind of not his best moment. And then like you said, he turned around and had some really fantastic punt returns. He did a really great job of bouncing back and sort of, you know, rebounding from his mistake, because it wasn't great, but it was also like one of those things where, hey, it's hot as heck out there. Like the ball's probably a little bit slippery. And also, like, you know, you've got guys running at your punt returns and kick returns. Those are not the easiest things in the world, especially punt returns, because you've got a million guys running at you. I mean, I don't know how they do it. I would be a little bit petrified. But regardless, yeah, it was really nice to see him kind of take advantage of that opportunity, because he's obviously gotten off to a pretty nice start as sort of that, I don't want, you know, sort of that change of pace running back to Cartavius Norton, because Norton's very much a between the tackles, more of a power back. Alvon Isaac, very much like shifty east-west playmaker, if you will. So, you know, it's nice to see him continue to take advantage of the opportunities that he's been given. But I did want to shout out these backups, because, man, these guys had some nice little performances. Nyaki Davenport, who we shouted out on our show before the game last week, in case you were listening last week, as a backup to watch. He had a big-time run for a touchdown. I think it was 40-plus yards. Really, really impressive stuff from him. And then Jonathan Echols, the 4-star tight end at IMG Academy. He's an edge rusher turned tight end. He's kind of been playing sporadically during his USF career so far. He had 2 catches last year and hasn't really played too much this season. But he hauled in a touchdown pass, and he hauled it in when he was playing with the starters. Like, it wasn't like a sort of end of the game, like, all right, go get him, buddy. Like, no, he was running with the starters. So he was running with the ones, and he managed to get in a touchdown catch on a little slant route from Byron Brown. So that was really cool to see, because we also shouted Jonathan Echols out last week. So that was really fun. Were there any other backups that kind of stood out to you, Musab, or did we kind of cover most of them?
I think you covered most of them, man. I also have to say, it was just nice seeing everyone get a little bit of action in. So just exciting, yeah. You know, from start to finish.
It's always so much fun to see guys that, you know, they're not necessarily playing right now, but they could very well be part of USF's future. I know with the transfer portal and everything that the idea of developing guys, like having guys sit out of your red shirt, it's not necessarily as much happening nearly as much anymore, because guys, if they're not getting playing time and they are deserving of it, they are going to go elsewhere and they are going to find a place to get playing time. But USF has shown that they can maybe get away with it a little bit more than other programs, because, you know, we've seen some guys like Shuler and like Mac Harris, who we'll talk about in a second. They've stuck around, you know, they're, you know, local guys, quote unquote, in that they've been through the program. So, yeah, it's important to have that depth too, even just for this season, because like Musab, like you said, guys get hurt, you know, it's college football. Football's a grueling sport. We're seeing it with the Bucks right now, right? Like all those dang injuries. Yeah. So having some good backups, super duper important. And, you know, it seems like they're kind of making shoring up on that front. But let's get to Mac Harris, because my goodness, like, I know that it's against SC State. It's against an FCS school. There's only so much you can take away from it. And, you know, when you're scouting guys for the NFL draft or something, you know, maybe not going to turn on this tape. But my goodness, Mac Harris had some excellent, excellent tape this past weekend. He had a pick six that I mentioned earlier on that first drive of SC State. And they were inside the red zone. Like, they were very much poised to score. But they did not, because Mac Harris came through with a big time play. And then he also had a pair of sacks just all over the place. It felt like in those first 3 quarters when he was on the field, Mac Harris was getting his name called out a lot, and in a very good way. It wasn't like, oh, Mac Harris with a blown coverage. It was like, whoa, Mac Harris making a big time play. So player of the game for us, Mac Harris, my goodness. And he's had just a miraculous start, too. Him and Shuler have been a huge part of why the USF Bulls have been able to beat Boise State and Florida. Without them, they were really good defensively in those first two games. And without those two guys, I don't know that they're able to put up that defensive performance that they did. So I was really impressed with Mac Harris, have been all year. Usab, what are your thoughts on Mac Harris's performance? Is there anyone else that you want to give a shout out to that maybe just missed our player of the game?
It's got to be Mac Harris, definitely, for player of the game. Yeah. I mean, yeah, especially with the pick six. Yeah, two sacks. I mean, I'm going to have to go Mac Harris. Everyone on the defensive side had just super dominant effort. I really don't know who to highlight other than Mac Harris, Jalen Shuler. I mean, those guys immediately, I know they didn't get so much action, but they made a lot of damage out there when they were on the field. So yeah, right. Mac Harris is easily my player of the game too.
Yeah. I did want to give another shout out. I don't really think of him as necessarily like a backup. He's very much, he's not necessarily the main guy or anything in the running back room, but Sam Franklin, he's a senior. He had over 90 yards, had a couple of touchdowns. He was great. He's going to be someone that's really important because USF with this turbo offense, guys are going to get tired. Like guys are going to get fatigued, especially once they get into conference play. Like I know that, it's the American Conference. They're not playing LSU or UF or anything like that, but these games are going to be competitive. They're going to be close. So they're going to need more than just Alvin Isaac and Cartavius Norton to be able to shoulder that burden. And so I think Sam Franklin is going to play a huge role as the season progresses. They're not going to be able to just have the two-headed monster that they sort of were able to get away with in those first two games. It's a long season. I'm hopeful that Sam Franklin can build on this performance and continue to play well because he looked great out there. He looked explosive. The offensive line obviously had a huge part in that. But shout out to Sam Franklin as well. He had a very, very good game. So moving on, because can't just keep talking about this SC State game. It's not, it's not the least important game, but it's also against an FCS opponent. So but taking a bigger picture look at USF, they're not ranked in the top 25 in the AP poll. But should they be? Because last week, Jonathan and I had this conversation and both of us were a pretty solid resounding yes. But I do wonder, Musab, if that's changed in the past week. I know they were kind of in that honorable mention category. Maybe they like just missed, so to speak. But what are your thoughts on USF's ranking? Should they be in the top 25 or do you think maybe 28 to 27 is about right?
Yeah, I think 28, 27 is right. It's just a harsh truth that the American Athletic Conference doesn't get respect like the other conferences do, of course, as I've mentioned already, the Power Four bias. So that's why we're not in the top 25. I mean, yeah, after beating UF, I mean, you'd be an idiot to not put us in the top 25. I mean, that was a huge whoa win. You know what I'm saying? So, right. Now, look, we've made a name for ourselves. And I think, there were 77 votes during this weekend for the voting poll for the top 25. So, I mean, USF is definitely up there, all sorts of, coaches ranks as well. The only thing is now is we just got to stay high. We're already in a less, we're not in a respected conference or semi. We're making a name. Shout out American Athletic Conference, some other big wins to Memphis. So hopefully things change, but yeah, we're going to have to stay hot. 27-28 is fine with me. What about you, though, right now? Do you think after this win, we ought to be in the top 25?
No, not after this win specifically. I think if they had maybe teetered a little bit or faltered a little bit, I think it would have resoundingly been like, okay, they are not a top 25 team. But because they looked so dominant and because they were just like, yep, we're taking care of business, then it's like, okay, let's have this conversation. It's very much a conversation that needs to be had, whether USF deserves to be in the top 25 or not. I don't know if it's based off of this win, but when you combine, like you said, the UF and the Boise wins, it's definitely interesting. I'm kind of leaning with you in terms of, maybe it's more of a 27-28 range, but it's close. And it's one of those things that's good because they're in a very good position to make it to the college football playoff if they just do what they're supposed to do. Because I think for me, and this gets us to a kind of our next conversation, if you will. I think for me that the new goal for them needs to be making it to the conference championship. You know, like going into this season, I think a lot of fans, myself included, were kind of like, all right, let's see if USF can get to 8 wins, you know, because they've been 7-6 for a while. Let's see if they can maybe 8-9 wins, not necessarily winning the conference or making it to the championship, but that 8-9 win range seemed like a very serious goal. But now that they're 3-1 coming out of these first four games, I think the goal has to shift. I think the goalposts have moved. I think that it's kind of like, hey, this is a really good team. They need to be in the conference championship. So basically my question, Musab, if they don't make it to the conference championship this season, do you consider that to be a bit of a letdown?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I do. Just because we've seen what they're capable of doing. I'm still have to see more, around the American Athletic Conference. But I mean, that's the clear goal now, because, yeah, having a productive season from last year, improving from last year, I feel like that's too easy now. You know what I'm saying? So
right.
The minimum now is to, to reach the conference and then win it, of course, as well.
For sure.
If something crazy happens, depending on who our opponent is, I mean, because there are some other solid teams in the American Athletic Conference, that's going to be another story. But I mean, yeah, we got to get in there and for sure win. That's definitely my goal right now too.
Yeah. And the good news is if they do manage to pull this off, I think the road to them making a college football playoff appearance is pretty straightforward. I don't think that there's necessarily this like wing and a prayer type of thing. You know, you're just kind of hoping, like, if they win their conference, if they win this American Conference, which I know it's not the SEC or the Big Ten or anything like that, but I think it's pretty comfortably the fifth best conference in college football, then they'll be that fifth conference, that fifth conference bid. So, you know, they might be the 12th ranked team in the college football playoff, but I think they'll make it in if they win this conference. So, you know, that's got to be the goal. Like you said, it's got to be to get there. Because I think if they get there, I think in no way, shape, or form can you call this a lost season. I think it's a massive step forward and it's, mission accomplished, even if they manage to lose, because it's one game. It's kind of nitpicky. It's kind of fluky. But, if they make it there, that's such a massive step forward for this program, and they can ride that momentum into some pretty great things moving forward. Obviously, if they win it, then it's like, whoa, all bets are off. Like, that's fantastic. But, just getting there has to be the goal for sure. But what do you, in your opinion, who are the – because I know you mentioned that there's some good teams in the American Conference. And in my mind, the biggest threats to them obtaining this goal and maybe even winning it are probably Memphis and Tulane. But I wanted to hear your thoughts. Are there any other teams that may be in this conference that you kind of could think you could sneak up on? I mean, North Texas looks kind of interesting, but I think Tulane and Memphis are pretty comfortably the two other best teams in this conference. What do you think about that, Musab?
Yeah, I'm going Memphis first and then Tulane. Both real good teams.
Yeah.
And, I feel like, whenever we do play them, if we play them and all that, yeah, we're going to have a hard time. From the top of my head, I'm forgetting who's on the schedule later on.
Yeah, they finish out the season against Memphis. They don't have to play Tulane in conference play.
Okay, then. So, yeah. But I feel like the other big thing is, look, we played Boise, which is not the Boise we all know. Okay. Now the UF game, that was amazing. Okay. That was great. Woohoo. And then the Miami, of course, we got dominated, and then we just ran over SC State. So it's like, we've had kind of weird, I'm going to count, of course, all the games and all that, but it's just like, what even is Boise? I haven't even followed Boise after we beat them. So, we should still be really proud of, our UF win. But what I'm just trying to say is I want to see just a little bit of, American Athletic Conference, competition, AKA like I want to wait until we play Charlotte and then, kind of see from there how we look against other opponents. Cause I mean, it's one thing to squeak by each one of these teams. Then I'm thinking, okay, well, it's anyone's game here in this conference. But I mean, if we're running over some of these teams, then, oh, of course.
Yeah. I mean, I think this Charlotte game, not this weekend because they have a bye, but the following weekend, it could be kind of a big indicator, like you said, of what of things to come. I don't want to put too much pressure on it because it's one game, but yeah, if they're able to kind of just like steamroll Charlotte and kind of treat it almost like the, I don't want to say it's like the SC State game because Charlotte obviously is a Division I program, but if they're able to jump out to a big lead, then yeah, it could be a sign of things to come because Charlotte isn't great, but they're not like Rice. They're not necessarily the bottom tier of the American Conference. They're not Rice or UAB or anything like that. So I do think that it's kind of an indicator of how they'll play against those maybe lower tier opponents. But you know, they still got North Texas, they still got UTSA, and they still got Memphis. So in my mind, there's still some pretty tough opponents in this American Conference schedule that USF has to watch out for. But you know, it's just something that's going to have to, something we're just going to have to see is see how it plays out. But shifting our focus to a little bit around USF's athletic department, the men's soccer team got the 600th program victory. I thought that was pretty cool. 600 wins. My goodness. That's kind of a lot. So I thought that was a cool little shout out that we could give to them because that's a big deal. I know that men's soccer, maybe not at the top of people's minds, but hey, it's part of USF. We're all things USF, go Bulls. So yeah, 600 victories for the men's soccer team. Shout out to them. But taking,
and I know their volleyball team. Oh, I was just gonna say, and I think their volleyball team actually came out with the win. I believe it was yesterday. I'm actually pulling it up right now. I just gotta confirm. This was actually yesterday against Florida Atlantic. They had beaten Florida Atlantic 3-1. So
very cool. And this is the same, you know, volleyball team that beat FSU, right?
Yeah, I just wanted to also highlight that. I mean, they played the 17th and 18th ranked, you know, teams, Kansas and Creighton. And I mean, I think they all went to four sets and another three sets. I mean, they've all been really close. So shout out. I just wanted to, shout out to, you know, USF women's volleyball team. Got to see more, of course, but I mean, they've had a pretty darn good season so far.
Absolutely. No, yeah. I mean, I think that USF victory or USF, the FSU victory, was just historical. So yeah, absolutely. It was such a massive deal that, they've definitely been kind of the talk of campus a little bit. You know, I know the football team has been great too, but, the volleyball team, shout out to them, man. They've been fantastic. They've been doing their thing. So hopefully they can keep it going. And, the women's soccer team's also been off to a pretty good start. They got some solid victories against some lower level schools. I think Creighton was one of them. So they've been, they've been doing their thing as well. USF has a lot of really great athletics departments, you know, across their athletic department. They have a lot of great athletic teams. So really, really want to, shine some light on them as well. But now we can talk about college football, back to the college football space, but a little bit more around the country, if you will, because most conferences are beginning conference play now. They've kind of gotten the non-conference games out of the way, so there's only so much you can necessarily take from the non-conference play, but at the same time there are some teams that have kind of dropped out of it, Clemson. there's definitely some haves and there are some definitely have-nots, but there are a lot of maybes. So I did want to get just kind of, now that we're getting into it, who's your favorite to win the national championship this season, Mr. Tree?
Ooh, oh man, that came out of nowhere. All right, oh wow, okay. Favorite to win it all. Oh my lord, I know. Lie to you, just because. I mean, from the top of my head, I mean, we still. I mean, there's still so much to see. You know, I think we can all say there's still a lot more to see for the rest of the season from each and one of these teams, but. You know what? I'm rooting for them just because they beat us. And I have to say, I watched how they play against UF and I was impressed. And I'm going Miami, man. I'm rooting for them to win it all. I think that'd be like, hey, like just imagine USF, only loses to Miami this whole season. Or I mean, maybe they'll, chances are they, if they make it to the playoffs, they're going to end up losing. So,
right. But hey,
regular season. So, yeah, look, USF has only one regular season loss. It's only to Miami. Miami wins a national championship. So it's like, okay, well, what are you going to say? Look, we were basically undefeated minus losing to the national champions. But no, seriously, they got a real good bunch over there. But I got to say, this FSU Miami game's, I think, the most exciting game to watch this weekend. So, I mean, I can always say Ohio State or Penn State or LSU. I mean, they're all phenomenal programs. But you know what? I'm again a little Florida bias, but maybe Florida State, you know, keeps climbing up, man. They got some dogs out there too. So
yeah,
I'm rooting for Florida, man. I mean, it's always, we always know these big schools always end up there or close there, you know, so
for sure,
that won't be surprising. And I'm just going to roll my eyes when I see, you know, who makes it to the playoffs, Texas, Ohio State, you know, Penn State or whatever, but
Georgia. Yeah.
It's yeah.
The same, same old. No, it is kind of boring in that aspect, but I do agree. I think Miami has a very good shot to make some real noise. Cause like you said, they've looked impressive. They played really well against Notre Dame. They beat Florida. And if they beat FSU, because FSU didn't just beat Alabama, they thumped them. Like, it was not a game. Like, it was kind of a blowout. Like, and that's not great. That's not a very good look for Alabama, but it's a really good look for Florida State. So I'd be hard pressed to really name too many teams that are looking better, in better shape than Miami is right now, because man, that Reuben Bain fella is, he might be one of the best defensive players in college football right now. He's been off to an outstanding start on that defensive line. He's really impressive. And Carson Beck has been there. Like, he's been in these big
nasty games. Offensive line, man. I was just going to say, dude,
for sure.
Oh, yeah. And then you got Carson get real nice and cozy and comfy.
Right. Right there. Yeah. And then you let Mark Fletcher get all that room. I mean, Fletcher is an elite level running back. So yeah, there's a lot of really interesting things that could happen with Miami. I like that shout out a lot. I hate to be boring and pick back to back, but Ohio State, man, they look really freaking good. Julian Sand he's young. He's, I think, either a redshirt freshman or a redshirt sophomore. It's his first year as a starter. But man, he looks impressive. Obviously that wide receiver Smith, Jeremiah Smith, one of the best in football. And they've got that defense that's just outstanding. So yeah, it's going to be tough. I really like the job that Chip Kelly has done with their offense in the past couple of years. Don't sleep on Tate, their second wide receiver as well. He's sort of that Ibuka role. But you know, I think that Ohio State is going to be really tough to beat. Like,
they also have, I was just going to say, they got Caleb Downs.
Exactly. Caleb Downs. Like, I know we were just talking about Reuben Bain.
Yeah.
But yeah, Caleb Downs is definitely up there.
Safety.
Well.
So
yeah. Yeah, they've got some crazy talent. So you don't want to count them out. So yeah, there's a lot of great college football teams out there. Georgia just pulled off that really, really fun victory over Tennessee as well. So Georgia's a team to watch out for. They've always got, no pun intended, a bunch of dogs on their team, especially on that defense. So yeah, there's a lot of great teams in college football right now. And
I got to ask you though, Carter, a quick question, just because, please. I mean, yeah, looking at, you know, I think the game that really surprised me was the way Indiana just ran over Illinois.
I know. That was crazy.
63-10. I don't know exactly what else to say. Is maybe Illinois just ranked too high?
Yeah.
Is Indiana him?
Right. Is Indiana that school? I think it might
be something about Indiana these days, man. The Colts and now Indiana University. Oh, Lord.
They're cooking. Yeah. And they were really good last year, you know, like don't take them for granted for sure. But
yeah, the Pacers and the Fever.
Oh yeah. The Pacers making it to the NBA finals. Yeah.
It's making noise. I didn't realize that actually right now. Wow.
I know, something in the water. I think, don't get me wrong, I think Indiana is very good. And this is not me saying that Indiana is bad by any stretch of the imagination. They are a very serious college football playoff contender, because they have a really good team, but I do think Illinois probably was maybe ranked a little high. And it's just one of those games, man. Like, it's just everything goes wrong, right? Like, it's weird, but that's how football is. You know, sometimes things can just go really, really sideways. I think we saw an NFL score similar to that recently too, where it was it the Raiders that got beat down that bad? I don't remember what team it was, but there's a really nasty score there too. But yeah, sometimes these blowouts just happen, and it kind of comes out of nowhere, even against two seemingly relatively evenly matched teams. So. But yeah, definitely a good shot. That was a really weird game. Definitely the most surprising outcome of this past weekend for sure. But staying on this national track, I did want to ask you about our favorite award, or everyone's favorite award, the Heisman. The field's kind of wide open right now. I don't know that there's really a good, solid Heisman favorite, because Arch Manning, oof, you know. I know he's kind of turned it around against the better teams, but you know, it's looking rough for him. Lenora Sellers hasn't really been too great out of South Carolina. Obviously, DJ Lagway has been really bad. I guess Garrett Nussmeier, but even him, like, he hasn't really been that great for LSU. They've kind of just been winning games by the strength of their defense. So I don't know. John Mateer just got hurt from Oklahoma. He was kind of a favorite. So I wanted to get your thoughts. Were there any guys that, obviously, I just kind of threw out a lot of names, but are there any guys that come to your mind when you think of the Heisman favorites so far?
Kind of early me, I guess. I mean, you know, there's a couple names, just depending on, you know, how it goes. I'll probably say the two from the kind of big teams, the most popular ones is, you know, I feel like if Carson Beck just keeps cooking, you know, with the help of his offensive line and the rest of his offensive weapons, you know, he's got a shot. I mean, Jeremiah Smith is an absolute animal out there. But I want to also, I just want to give a shout out to, you know, since we were just talking Indiana, Fernando Mendoza. He's making a name for himself.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, there's a couple other guys. But one guy, I think I saw him at the beginning of the season, and I just remember he had an absolute dog performance. I think that same weekend when FSU beat Bama, but I was like, oh, my Lord. Because I was so impressed by Tommy Castanellos. I was like, oh, my God, he's going to be the ACC Player of the Week. And then came Haynes King from Georgia Tech.
Right, yeah.
And I was like, oh, he's my Lord. So, yeah. Georgia Tech still got to have to make a name for themselves and all that. But, I mean, that was a big win against Clemson. And there's a couple names, I guess. I've heard even, like, Caleb Downs, again, from Ohio State. He's a potential Heisman. That'd be pretty neat to see.
Yeah.
You know, like a safety winning the Heisman. I mean.
For sure. I think of all the years for like a, because I know last year Travis Hunter won it and he's a cornerback, but excuse me, of all the years for like a pure defensive player to win it, this might be a good one. I know it's still early, but like there's not really a standout like head and shoulders above the rest type of player. Like last year it was Genty and Hunter. Like those were the two guys. And certainly there's a possibility that that type of storyline emerges. Like there's guys that just go out and dominate. But right now there's definitely not that. And it's still relatively early, but it's also like, you know, this is week five we're coming up on. Maybe week six. I think it's week five. But it's not, you know, it's not for nothing. Like there's not really a clear standout right now. So, you know, if Reuben Bain keeps playing well, or if Caleb Downs, like you said, has some big time games and Ohio State is, you know, as we think that they probably will be in contention for a national championship, Caleb Downs could make a name for himself as well. So there's some really interesting names out there in terms of Heisman candidates. But
I think we're just going to have to see. We're just going to see some more matchups ahead of time. Yeah. And I feel like, you know, like, I mean, for example, like FSU versus Miami, you know, we'll get a good idea of how Carson Beck looks against, you know, another real hot team. Same thing goes for Tommy Castanellos as well. So
absolutely. I'm really excited for Tommy because I felt like he got done kind of dirty in Boston College. He kind of got just set aside at UCF. It's one of those weird things, right? Like, I don't know. I felt like Thomas Castellanos has always been a very talented player, like one of the best running quarterbacks in college football. But, you know, obviously you can't just be a running quarterback anymore. Like, you got to throw the ball a little bit. So I'm really glad that he's been able to get a shot here because – man, he is electrifying. I know he probably he'll never be an NFL quarterback because he's so small and his throwing arm isn't good enough. But he's really electrifying to watch out there when he's right. So hopefully he can have another good game against Miami, because even if it's not necessarily one of those things where like all the losers automatically knocked out of the Heisman conversation, like if Carson Beck and Thomas both have really good games, they could both remain in it even if one of them loses, you know, or whenever one of them loses. It's definitely going to be something to monitor moving forward. We'll check back in throughout the season. But obviously USF has a bye week, so kind of going to have that time off this weekend, not to have to watch USF or anything. So got some really fun action, though, this weekend. Are there any games that maybe stand out to you? I know you mentioned FSU-Miami, but are there any other games that you're going to be watching this Saturday?
Ooh. Other than FSU-Miami.
I know LSU-Ole Miss is this weekend, I think. Maybe.
Yep, LSU-Ole Miss. Actually, I'm I apologize. I didn't realize, but FSU and UVA play tomorrow. So,
oh, it's not this weekend.
Right. Yeah, I don't know what I was thinking. Yeah,
no, you're good. You're
apologize.
Good.
Listen, I don't know why. I think there has just been so much. I don't think FSU cares about UVA. I don't think Miami cares about you. I don't think anyone cares about UVA FSU.
Yeah,
maybe that's what it was. They're just saying, you know, what?
Maybe we're just we were just overlooking.
Yeah. UVA. Oh yeah, UVA had a nice game against Stanford though, so it'll be still a solid test. But
for sure,
no, I gotta say FSU. Yeah, LSU, Ole Miss.
Penn State, Oregon. Yeah,
and then Bama, Georgia.
Yeah,
wow. Oh my gosh, yeah.
And even I know Texas A&M. I know Auburn lost last weekend, but Texas A&M and Auburn. That's a big time game. Like those are two solid SEC teams. Texas A&M is really good. Like they put. I mean, they didn't put belt to butt or anything on Notre Dame, but they beat Notre Dame, and it was a good game. But like Texas A&M looked really impressive. Marcel Reed is really really good. I have a lot of hopes that he can turn things around. He's kind of a dark horse Heisman candidate for me, especially if Texas A&M can kind of get on a roll here. So, I'm really excited to watch some college football this weekend. I will be at the beach this weekend, so hopefully I'll convince my fiance to let me sit at the bar and watch some games, but we'll see how that goes. Regardless of what happens this weekend, we will be back next week with another wonderful RBLR Bulls show. We sure hope y'all enjoyed staying around and listening to us talk some college football and some college sports in general with USF. I'm Carter Brantley. This is Mr. Musab Tariq. And if you like what you heard, hit that like and subscribe button. We'd really appreciate it. But until next weekend, as always, go Bulls.
Go Bulls.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.